Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to be stuck on the subway with your ex-bestie? Neither are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I guess my only question is, if you were stuck on the subway with your ex-bestie, would you take the Felicity approach and trying to solve things, or the Julie approach and trying to ignore Felicity?
1,000% I'm Julie in this situation. I am ignoring everything. Obviously they don't have headphones in this situation, which kill me now. If I'm stuck on public transit for hours without any sort of headphones or anything to distract me, kill me now. But yeah, I'm the Julie. I'm as much as I'm like very fiery and passionate and vocal in terms of conflict, I'm a fairly conflict averse person. And so I don't think I would approach the other person. What do you think you would do?
Yeah, I think that I would try to solve the issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when in Rome, you know,
we're stuck here. We might as well sort out our issues.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that Julie had every opportunity to get up and go to the other train car. Like, I mean, it's not advisable to go from train car to train car when you're stuck. But that guy selling like watches and kazoos was doing it. So it's possible. So if Julie really had that big of a problem, she could have just left. So I feel as though like Julie was doing the thing where she was just like, I don't want to talk to you, but like, I'm not going to get myself out of the position. You know what I mean? She didn't even move to the other side of the subway car. She just firmly planted herself there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Julie was like, obviously we'll see by the end, they kind of make amends in a way. And so it feels to me like Julie isn't going to make the first step, but is open to having the discussion.
Right. Because if you're completely closed off, then you would just remove yourself from the situation, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially because it seems like she's really made up with Ben. And so at this point, it's kind of like, well, what? I don't know. Sarah, I really do also come from the school of, I don't want to hold a grudge because it feels like it just takes energy out of you. Like energy spent hating someone is like better placed elsewhere. So I would rather be apathetic than hate someone, just because it's like, at least you've moved on in a sense, you know?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I don't know. Like, we'll talk about this whole thing. I really like this episode. And I just thought that it was kind of funny. It was predictable, but funny, especially being a person that commuted into New York for 10 years. And I have my own horror stories about being stuck in a subway because somebody got hit. Like, that is an extremely real thing that I have dealt with a lot. So much so that, like, I'm going to talk about it and probably sound insensitive about it, but I am, like, very jaded by the whole thing because it the amount that it happens is alarming and disturbing. And it, like, I mean, constantly, that between that and, like, New Jersey transit trains, it happens a lot more than you would think. So and but yeah, getting stuck in the subway for who knows how long. I thought the bit of, like, hearing the announcement and having no fucking clue what they were saying, that's 1,000% realistic. Like, this episode of TV was written by a New Yorker or a New York commuter, because this is my experience.
Yeah. It's really fascinating as someone who I don't live in the city. I'm not a huge city person. I'm not a big public transit person because where I live, it's just not a thing that is developed out, you know, like, everyone drives around where I live. And so it was a huge culture shock when I've gone to New York City and, like, tried to use the subway and tried to get around on mass transit. It's not my preferred method because I'm just not used to it. And we'll talk about it when we get to that part of the episode about, like, the subway. And I had a few experiences on the subway, but this is my nightmare. Like, being underground for, like, multiple hours, not knowing what's going on, not being able to contact anybody, truly a nightmare experience. Like, I feel like I would hate this. But we'll get there. We're, of course, talking about season 2, episode 4, The Depths. And Sarah, we start this episode with Felicity, like, holding a mirror up and drawing her own eye. And, like, I have to say, our only other experience with, like, watching a young artist was, like, Joey Potter on Dawson's Creek. And Felicity is already leaps and bounds better than Joey ever was.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we only really saw one piece of art from Joey, and I just have it in my head right now, and it is the worst thing that I've ever seen drawn.
Yeah, the chocolate milk improved it.
Truly. But yeah, I mean, like, I really do think that Felicity has a natural talent, and I am excited for her to explore this side of herself, because I think that this is what she's actually passionate about and not medicine. I have no idea what Felicity wants to do with her artist career. I don't know if she, I mean, has she talked about, like, what she wants to do for a job?
I think just artist. Like, I feel like she's only mentioned art, but, like, no, in terms of, like, art history or curator or actual painter, or we don't know, at least at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a parent and my child said they wanted to be an artist, I would be concerned a little bit, because I just feel like it's hard, but especially if the comparison is doctor, where you know
it's
that
so different.
Yeah, I just, like, in terms of guaranteeing of jobs, like, I feel as though there's plenty of doctors in need. However, I'm just happy that she's exploring something that makes her passionate about. And I do think that she has a lot of natural talent, unlike that professor was saying in the last episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And on the bright side too, like, New York City is a great place to be if you're exploring art. You know what I mean? Like, it is a really wonderful city to live in if that's what your passion is. So she's in the right place, at least, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. She can go utilize plenty of museums. She can learn from street artists. She can go to a billion galleries. She, like, there is a lot of opportunity. Like, there, it, like, you know, like, artists flock to New York. So it's definitely the place to be.
Yeah. So she gets interrupted by Carl, who we've seen before, because we know he was the one that Megan was making fun of for eating his hair. And so he comes in and he's having a problem with his roommate because his roommate is basically making fun of him to his friend on the phone, saying he doesn't shower. He washes his clothes, or he doesn't wash his clothes with detergent, I guess. He eats his hair. And all of these things are actually true about him. And like, this just goes to show the difference between Felicity and Megan as RAs, because when Megan comes in, she's just like, ugh, you're a weirdo.
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple, I mean, it's an issue because, like, you know what, like, maybe, like, the guy should, I still think that he has an iron deficiency. Pica is a real thing if he's eating hair. And, I mean, he's just, like, kind of, like, the smelly roommate. So, like, maybe he needs to look into, like, you know, like, taking better care of himself.
But or getting a different roommate. Like, I feel like this is, like, an interpersonal conflict. With like
another smelly person?
I guess. I don't know. Like, it just seems like I don't know how Felicity's supposed to fix this. I guess he just wants a person to, like, listen to him, you know?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Because, like, he was the one that was overhearing his roommate. Because it's, like, I don't know. Like, Felicity can't go to his roommate and be, like, stop talking shit to your friend having a personal conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, leave the room if he's on the phone or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we hear from Megan that she just got back from Epstein Barr and Julie was performing. And oh my gosh, she is spilling all the tea and basically writes a diss track about Felicity.
I'm obsessed. Incredible. I think this was so funny.
I love this as a storyline. I think it's incredible. I think it's so funny. I love the way in which Felicity finds out through Megan, right? Because Megan now knows some of the details of what happened. My one problem with this storyline, Sarah, is the fact that we don't hear the fucking song. Give us the song! What are you doing? We've heard Julie perform before. It's not like they're afraid to have that actress sing a song on the show. Why did we hear the song?
Just as lazy writing. I'm really pissed because I wanted to hear the song. Even Adam was mad that we didn't get to hear the song. We want to hear the song. What's the song about? Like, I mean, I know what it's about, but let's listen to the song. And I thought that we would have heard it. But Felicity is, like, automatically extremely upset that Julie is spilling their personal business to every person in New York City, especially a place where her friends and people that they know in common frequent. So
Felicity is not a common name, you know? Everyone's going to know it's about her.
Everybody knew, like, their issues anyway. Okay, so do you think that Felicity has the right to be angry?
Certainly, yeah.
You think so?
I don't think she can. I think there's a difference. I think Felicity can be angry, but I don't know what she can do about it. You know, like, it's Julie's right. These types of, like, songs have been written for hundreds of years, you know, like, when people are upset and they're artists, they tend to put it in their art. Like, I mean, you love Taylor Swift. How many songs has she written about ex-boyfriends? I think that's just, it is what it is. Like, Felicity can ask Julie, hey, like, maybe can you substitute some names or something? But at the end of the day, she can't really do anything about it. I think she's within her right to be upset, but if Julie wants to sing a song that bashes Felicity for something Felicity did, there's not much Felicity can do about that.
To me, there was no fabricated details. It was all facts. So if Felicity's pissed off, maybe then she needs to turn it back onto herself and think about the consequences of her actions and what she did. You know what I mean?
It does seem like she's thinking, like, oh, well, I tried to apologize, so why is Julie still bitter?
I think that is a Felicity problem, really. Like, Julie has every right to talk about her experiences in art And if she was making up lies about Felicity, then that's one thing. But she has outlined just facts. And she's talking about her own feelings and experiences. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, I don't really think that like Felicity has a right. She could be angry at the situation because it sucks, but also it's a mirror onto her, like what she did to Julie. And if she's upset about that, then like she should be upset with herself, not with Julie.
Yeah. Yeah, I do love, we get a couple of lines from the song. Slut, what is it? An Aster plays Trim and she thinks she's Joan of Arc. Something, something, slut of Washington Square Park.
Okay, maybe calling her a slut wasn't great, but also it's a good line.
It's a good line. I don't think Felicity is a slut, but it is a good line. Yeah.
And I like how she talks about the haircut. It's funny. It's very funny.
Yeah. And so Felicity's pissed, right? She's talking to Sally and saying like, oh, Julie's performing a song about me. I'm so mad. I would never actually do this, but I want to punch Julie in the face.
Do it. Punch Julie in the face. See how that will go. It won't go well.
Yeah, so she stomps on over to Julie, Sean, and Ben's apartment.
Which I think is embarrassing of her.
I do too. I, like,
I understand. Like, she's upset, but also, like, what are you going to do? You're going to say, you know, she's like, please stop singing the song about me. She doesn't have to. You know?
Yeah, she just wants to be confrontational about it, really. And so she goes to the apartment and Sean answers and Julie's not there. But she's like, hey, can you tell her I stopped by? And Sean, we're going to get into this later because we have to talk about the names. But we have another Sean invention. It's a new condiment.
Okay. Did he explain what is in the sauce?
It was smoothies. But I don't know we know exactly what it is.
It was pinkish. I mean, it looked like a
Thousand
French,
Island, maybe?
Yeah, a Thousand Island adjacent, like ketchup and mayonnaise together.
Yeah.
That's not new. I mean.
No, people have been mixing those together forever. So, yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll find out later what exactly it is. Mm-hmm. But he knows. He knows right away. He's like, oh, you heard the song, didn't you? And so Felicity is now at Noel and Elena's apartment, and she's just like, oh, like she's playing this mean song about me as entertainment. And Noel is seemingly like kind of taking the opposite side and saying, well, you haven't heard it, like you have no idea if it's even cruel or not. And she's like, I can't believe her, like I called her, I tried to talk to her. And it's like, I don't know. Noel thinks it's really interesting at this point, Sarah, because it's almost like it took almost nothing for Noel to kind of move on. And I don't know if forgive Felicity is the right way to put it, but they seem fine now.
Yeah, I think it's very telling that Julie is fine with Ben and Felicity is fine with Noel. However, Julie and Felicity are like fighting and have issues with each other, and they both are like, yeah, you were my first friend that's a girl, and they're both like guys girls. Like, I think it's very telling about I don't know the characters, but also just like how in situations like these the girls seem to go after each other and not the men.
Tale as old as time, right? This feels so true to reality, where Julie is fine with Ben, but not fine with Felicity. And Felicity and Noel have seemingly made up, but Felicity and you know, Julie can't seem to. Although Felicity has extended the olive branch, right? If we want to give her a modicum of credit.
Trying, but
she's tried.
Has she given Julie the opportunity to essentially just like sit there and shut up and just listen to how it made Julie feel?
I think the problem is Julie hasn't returned any of like her calls. So at that point, I would be like Felicity and would just be like, I guess it's done. Like, I've done all I can. I don't want to harass her into forgiving me. I don't know. I don't know. It just, it's interesting, but I totally agree with you. It feels true to life that mm-hmm. in this situation, that it would be the two girls that are struggling the most to kind of make amends.
Yeah. And I found it interesting that they both admitted that they were like, quote unquote, guys, girls in mm-hmm. this episode. And it's just like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, Sarah, like for these two girls who haven't really had close friendships with other girls before their friendship with each other, that they're not necessarily used to like maintaining those sorts of relationships, you know?
I don't know. As somebody who is a person that prefers, or a woman that prefers friendships with other women over men, it's not that fucking hard, you know? Just don't stay away from your friends' exes. That's it.
Oh, fair. I'm more speaking to generally when you're talking about relationships, right? Like I would consider myself to be not necessarily a girl's girl, but also not like someone who has a ton of guy friends.
Have friends.
Yeah, I really am the type of person who like struggles to put in the effort when it comes to maintaining relationships that much, because I tend to just live my life and you know what I mean? I'm not always mm-hmm. the one who's reaching out, and that's on me. That's a me problem. And it's been a problem forever. But I do find this a little relatable. Not that I would ever go after one of my, I live by the girl code. We don't go after our friends, boyfriends and or exes, especially not if it's an ex from like a day ago. Yeah.
Because there's plenty of men. You live in New York City. If you right. know, like, we don't have to be incestual here. Like, if you want a guy, then, like, look elsewhere. It doesn't have to be,
yeah,
you know, the same three guys over and over again. Copy and paste.
Yeah. Elena relates to this experience because when she was in third grade, a girl wrote a poem about her called Stinky Girl.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah. I cannot. I mean, I once again, I wanted to hear the full poem. I think that we got a little bit. It was like stinky girl, something, yeah. something.
Yeah. And then Noel makes her stop.
I want to hear the rest of the poem.
Just like I want to hear the song, I also want to hear the poem. Yeah.
Was Elena actually a stinky girl? Like that guy that
I don't think hair? So. She seems like she practices good hygiene.
I believe so too. All right. But so Elena does not like it when people write things about them. But I mean, it sucks. Like, it's embarrassing. It sucks. I understand. Like, yeah. You do have the right to be upset. However, it's like, I don't know. The other person also has the right to say whatever they want. It's America. Yeah. Freedom of speech, baby.
Pointing to that, it's such an easy thing for Julie America. To do. Can I maybe give a hot, I don't know if this is a spicy take, but
yeah.
I think that the girl writing Stinky Girl is worse than the song Julie writes because it's in third grade and you know that will follow you. Like New yes. York City, fuck it. Don't go to that bar. Don't be friends with Julie. You know what I mean? Yeah. Find other friends. There's plenty of people around. You're in third grade in grade school and someone calls you stinky girl. That shit's following you forever.
Yeah. Then you're stinky girl forever. It's so yeah. true. That's so true. Also, is it a fabrication? Is this a racially guided stinky girl?
Could be. Could yeah. very well could be.
Yeah. So I have issue with the girl that wrote the poem Stinky yeah. Girl.
Fuck that girl. We love Elena.
Unless she was a stinky girl.
Yeah, but even then, don't do that. Don't call her stinky. That's rude. Just like whisper to her, hey girl, do you want some deodorant or something? You know, come on yeah. now. So we find out that Felicity and Noel are going to go to the museum together. Again, they're seemingly friends now. Like they're cool. And Felicity says, you and I are closer than like Julie and I ever were, which mm-hmm. is fair. They dated. So like, yeah. yeah. But Noel wants to invite Ruby, new girl Ruby, Amy Smart. She is like fully in now. And I don't know if you noticed, but Felicity asks like, oh, how are you guys? And he's like, fine, we're not dating. And she's just like, no, I know. Again, like, is there some jealousy here or is it just awkwardness?
I think that Felicity is too interested in them as a couple. So yeah, if that is jealousy, maybe, if it's the fact that like Noel has options and Felicity does not, like I'm not quite sure, but I also think that it could just be the thing when like your ex is dating somebody else, and even if you don't want to be with them, like you're just like, oh,
it's like a competition sort of, right?
exactly it's, yeah, like who's winning the breakup type of thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think it's made worse because it's more Megan's fault, to be honest, but Felicity feels a little responsible for Ruby and Noel even meeting in the first place. So I think that's also kind of, she's kicking herself a little bit about, yeah, it.
Well, you know what? Noel deserves this.
Yeah, of course. So Felicity hops on the subway. She's going to meet them at the museum. And as someone who has only ever used the subway a few times, like I can count on two hands how many times I've been on the subway. Yeah. I found this line hysterical and not at all in line with people I know that live in New York City and use the subway. Felicity says, I was just thinking about how amazing the subway system is. How reliable. How perfect. Sarah, no. Is that how you describe the New York City subway system?
No. I will say that the public transportation in Japan is perfect. That thing, apparently, I've heard that it runs exactly like on time. Like the percentage that it runs off time is very, very, very minimal. I will say that New York City is not there. It is not reliable. It is not perfect. That is such a stupid thing to say, but sure.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I haven't even been on the subway that many times, and it was not perfect when I was there. So I don't know what the hell she's talking about. But
I do love the people that don't take the subway that often, and they're like, it's the worst experience I've ever experienced. It's terrible, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, you're just number one, everybody just minds their own business on the subway. You have to go from point A to point B. Like, it's just like, I don't know.
I'm not used to it. I get very confused when it comes to like the directions. And when I went there and it was October, it was like a million fucking degrees. I was pissed off. We couldn't find like the right entrances to this. It was like a whole mess and a half. There were exits that were closed. It was a whole thing. I was pissed off and I didn't enjoy my experience on this. And I'm not good at standing on these sort of things when they move.
You don't have good sea legs.
I do not have good sea legs. And so when they start moving, I'm like, I'm going to fall over if I don't hang on to something. And I know people are like good at just standing and I can't do that. I need a handrail. I need something. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then Julie gets on board, sits like right across from Felicity.
For a second, I thought that Julie was going to be one of those performers on the subway, because that happens a lot too. Like,
Has the guitar.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, please tell me you are hopping on the subway and singing the song. I was like, please, please, please. But no, that wasn't the case. She was just,
that would have been everything.
I thought that that's what she was going to do, which like, I hated when people came on the subway and started playing music, especially like really loud music. And it's like 7:30 in the morning. And you're just like, please, for God's sake, like, please stop playing your music. Please, please.
But you were a headphones person, right? Like you had headphones.
Yeah, but it's so loud. You like hear it over. It's awful. But
I can't imagine the subway before people had headphones.
Yeah.
So boring.
Yeah.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
So, but no, Julie just sits across from Felicity, of course. What are the odds? But like, we learn later that they're heading to the same place. So I guess it makes sense that they're, I don't know, on the same subway, but, so it is automatically awkward between them. And yeah. We'll see how that ends up.
Yeah. Then we're at Dean and DeLuca. Ben is working, and we're introducing, it seems like a new love interest for him, I guess. We have this like woman who, to me, she looks like she's probably in her 30s. I don't know, Sarah. What do you think?
I mean, 90s, 30s. So maybe she's like 25. I'm not quite sure.
Fair.
She is a businesswoman.
Yeah, she's a caterer, and she comes in, and she's like the girl who has her, back in the day, like the Bluetooth headset in. She's always on her phone, right? She like thinks that her, you know, demands are the most important, and she says, I need 125 brownies by 5. Can you handle that? She's handling a CD release party tonight. So funny to even say out loud.
I wonder who her client is.
It's her friend, but I don't think she says what their name is.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, okay, yeah, you all good. She's like, hands over the credit card, run it quickly. I'm on a schedule. Like, again, very like in a rush constantly, kind of rude because she just wants what she wants and she doesn't have time to like, you know, cater to anyone else.
Yeah.
Cater. Cause she's a caterer.
Look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll get into that more later. Did you get this a lot on the subway, Sarah? This person who's just like selling random watches and shit?
Not watches. Usually it was like the kids that were selling candy. And you're just
different. It's a kid at least, I guess.
No, but it's like, I mean, annoying. It's like orchestrated. Yeah. I mean, like there were people that would, people would sell things on the subway all the time. Yeah, not necessarily like kazoos and like
yo-yos, slinkies.
Yeah, not that, but people would sell stuff on the subway all the time. Yes, yeah. Waters, drinks, whatever. Yeah,
I would hate that. I don't like being approached by salespeople.
Yeah, I mean it's uncomfortable. I don't like it either. It's annoying.
Meanwhile, Felicity gets up, sits directly next to Julie, and is just like, "Hey. Did Sean tell you I stopped by?" She's like, "Yep." And she's like, "Well, that was last night. Like, were you going to call me?" And Julie says, "No." And she's just like, "Are you really just going to talk to me like this?" And Julie says, "Yep." And so Felicity's like, "Fine." And she gets up and goes back to her seat.
Okay. This is like where you're like, "Julie, I was wrong. I am sorry. This was a mistake. I shouldn't have done this to you." If you're going to have like the opportunity to talk without Julie responding, grovel. If you want to resolve this, grovel.
But Felicity, that's not where Felicity's coming from at this point.
Well, Felicity's
right?
Wrong.
No, I'm just saying in Felicity's head, she has tried to apologize. She, in fact, has apologized many times. Julie won't listen. And now she's pissed off because Julie wrote a song about her. So she's coming from a place of anger, not from a place of, "Please, please forgive me, Julie."
I don't know. Maybe I'm just a dog that will roll over, but it's just like, you want the conflict resolved? Apologize for your part in it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, they're
like,
gonna
okay.
have
yeah. No, I mean it's just, I know that we've talked about this like nonstop, and like I do think that like Felicity had every right to go out with Ben, but also she had to have realized how it was going to make Noel and Julie feel. Yeah. And she did it even though she knew it was going to hurt these two people that she says that she cared about. So it's like she has to take accountability for that hurt that she caused and the betrayal that Julie feels like she was done to her. But I mean, whatever, because, you know, I'm just another person on the subway giving my unsolicited opinion.
Well, yeah, they're going to get a lot of opinions because suddenly the subway stops and they're like, uh-oh. And as you said earlier, we get the like announcer guy that you cannot understand.
Yeah,
very Charlie Brown's teacher moment where it's like, I don't understand anything that just happened, but they're going to be stuck on the subway for a while.
Yes, they will be. We don't know why at this moment, but
yeah, we get to meet some of these characters. There's like a guy who just moved to New York and he's like very nervous about the subway being stopped. We have the panhandler. Is that what they call the people that are walking around trying to sell things? We have him still doing things. He's like, "Oh, great. Everything's reduced $5 to $4, baby." And then like no one's answering the scared man, which feels very New York, right? For everyone to be like, oh, this guy just shut
up. I would ignore that person. It's so annoying. Just shut the fuck up. Yeah. There's like a lawyer character. There's like this woman that like just seems like a nervous Nilly. There's like the younger guys that are just like, shut up. Like,
there's a guy that'll get really upset at Felicity. Yeah. And
this is just white girl problems. Like, just shut up.
Yeah. And so the panhandler approaches Julie and is trying to sell her a harmonica. And she's trying to be very polite in her refusal. And meanwhile, Felicity's overhearing all of this. And eventually she gets up and she's just like, she said no. Like, yeah. Leave her alone.
Yeah. I mean, good for Felicity. I did like Felicity in this moment. I thought that it was big of her and good of her to kind of like not stand up for Julie, because Julie didn't need to be stood up for. But it's like, if you see a man like harassing a woman like that, even if like she's your friend, ex-best friend, a rando, I think that like you can be like, back the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that Felicity just felt like Julie is always going to be a little bit quieter about this. And so she felt like, you know what? I don't like what this guy's doing. I'm going to stand up for Julie. And Julie does say like, oh, you didn't have to do that. And instead of Felicity saying anything like nice or anything, she just goes, look, I heard about your song.
I just feel like, okay. And then also like this approach is not very good, because like then you're automatically putting Julie back on the defense, you know?
Yeah.
But whatever, she's pissed about the song. I heard about your song. Julie's like, I can sing about whatever I want. Like I said, it's America.
Yeah, she said, yeah, she's like, I deal with my anger through music. Freedom of speech, baby.
Yes, yeah. She's like, I can sing about whomever I want, whatever I want. It's what I feel like doing. And I want to sing about this song. And Felicity's like main issue is like, you are singing this song at a bar where everybody knows my business now. Like, yeah. Everybody knows everybody. It's the,
but the toothpaste is out of the tube at this point, right? Like, if everyone's already heard the song.
But people already knew. People already knew. Because people already, it's like, knew a small campus. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yes, Julie is defending her song.
Yeah.
And then is this where like the guy is like, hey, people shut the fuck up?
No, not yet. Because we go over to the museum where.
Who cares about the museum?
Well, we're going to talk about Ruby this very quickly. Ruby and Noel,
they're like on their date. They're having a good time.
Ruby's hitting on Noel. She's talking about how his hands are all soft and like blah, blah, blah. No one really cares. They're hitting it off, basically. Yeah. Yes, the whole thing.
Of course they are, because they are. Ruby was hired to be on this show to be Noel's love interest, and I'm here for it. Now, do something interesting, you know?
Well, I'm sure we'll get into drama with them at some point. But back to Felicity and Julie, because that's where the drama is.
Yes.
Finally, Felicity apologizes. She says, well, kind of. She says, I'm sorry about everything that happened. No, that's not adequate, honestly. Like, I'm sorry about everything that happened. No.
Itemize the list. Yes. Itemize the list. Say, I am sorry I wasn't giving clear communication since the beginning that I still had feelings for Ben. I am sorry that I made you feel awkward around the situation this whole time. I am sorry that I seemingly jumped into Ben's car the second that you broke up. I am sorry that I went to this thing without letting you know. I am sorry when you were talking to me about you had a feeling that Ben was interested in somebody else. I wasn't honest with you that I felt like it was me. Like, itemize the list. Like, apologize for the things that you actually could have done better.
Yeah, that is apologies 101, is being specific about what you're actually sorry about. And she's not. And not only that, she says, so this is the exact quote. I'm sorry about everything that happened, and I don't blame you for being mad or working through your music. And she adds a but. You cannot add buts into your apology. That's it. You cannot do it, because it immediately negates whatever you just said. Yeah. And so she says, but performing that song at a club where our mutual friends hang out, I mean, that's like passive aggressive or something. And she says, no, it's not. And she's like, you know what? You're right. It's aggressive.
True. I mean, it is. But also, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't blame her.
And Felicity is just pissed off because she's like, everyone knows our history now. And I mean, Julie has a point where she says, well, why do you care? Like, what do you feel so guilty about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not like anything she's saying is untrue. And the thing is, Felicity hasn't heard the song. And so she doesn't exactly, it's not like today where someone would have recorded the song and, you know, it would have been up on fucking Spotify and SoundCloud instantly, you know, she hasn't heard the song. So she doesn't know exactly what was said or how she was portrayed. But from our perspective, it sounds like everything she said was true. So
yeah. I mean, maybe not the slut of Washington Square Park. Because I don't think Felicity's like the opposite of a slut, but
yeah, she's a very monogamous person.
But the hair is very Joan of Arc adjacent. I'll give her that one.
Can I while we're talking about the hair, I do have a quick anecdote. So I got my hair cut this past week. And for those who don't know, I go to a hair salon that is specifically for people with curly hair. They like cut your hair in a different way than if you had normal straight hair. So it was funny because I was talking to my hairstylist about Felicity and about how she cut her curls off and everything like that. And so I showed my hairstylist like a before and after because she's on the younger side. So she didn't watch Felicity when it was on. So I showed her, this is Keri Russell before and this is Keri Russell after. And she was mortified by this haircut. So listen, she's the expert, you know?
Yeah.
She was like, it needs dimensionality. Like, it just is all like the same length, which is exactly what we said. So I feel justified.
Yeah. It's a helmet, essentially.
Yeah, it looks terrible. And I said, and if I had those curls, there's no way I would cut them. And then we got into this whole side conversation about, did you know Nicole Kidman had curly hair? Were you aware of this?
Yeah, because the doll that I had made in the likeness of Nicole Kidman when I was a child had red curly hair.
Oh, what? Okay. Why did you make a Nicole Kidman doll?
Because I was obsessed with Nicole Kidman because I loved Practical Magic. And
Okay. I was like, what did you see that like caused this? Okay. Practical
Magic. Because you know, those like dolls, like where you could like make it like in anything, any way that you want. Like usually kids made it like look like them.
Like I had an American Girl doll that was like me, meaning she was white and a brunette with green eyes.
This one was called my twin or whatever. Okay. And like instead of making my twin, I made like a girl with like red curly hair and I named her Nicole. So I don't know why, but that's what I wound up doing.
we got on the subject of like Nicole Kidman's hair and how it basically was ruined in Hollywood because they like did so much to it that like it completely ruined.
It's so,
and she has gorgeous curls
thin
too.
And blonde now.
It's terrible looking. But anyway, so just know that my curly hairstylist was like, that is an atrocious haircut. So there you go. There's the proof is in the pudding. The experts say.
Yeah. I mean, that is not good.
Is this like a common thing that people who live, apparently there are people who live underneath New York City called mole people?
Yeah. I mean, like I've heard rumors about the mole people.
Okay. Well, that's what they think got hit by the subway. Sure. And apparently, according to you, this is a common thing, which is horrifying to think about.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I've been on a subway that's hit somebody. I've been on a subway that's behind the subway that's hit somebody. Same thing with like trains above ground. It's a very common occurrence.
Yikes. So then we get back to Ben. Ben and Sean are talking about names for his condiment. So he says, how about smoothies? Some of his other options. So this is the number one option. Okay. This is what they pitch out first. Now, Sarah, we're going to talk through, these are some of the other ones we have. Fat-tastic.
No.
Must ooze.
No.
Lard spread.
No.
Wasabi goose.
No.
I think goose kicks it out. Spice-a-Rio.
Check.
That might be better. I think that's better than
Spice-a-Rio.
Yeah. Zestrica.
Maybe.
Yeah, and then smoothies, as they say it again.
So
Spice-a-Rio, I think, is the best
Spice-a-Rio. Yeah, that one's my favorite.
Good one. So it sounds like it's
Spicy.
I mean, the thing is, it sounds like wasabi. It's spicy because there was a wasabi mention. Maybe it has mustard because there was must ooze. So is there some sort of mustard component? I don't understand what this is. Like, I need to know what it is.
Yeah, I think it's some sort of spicy Thousand Island.
Mayo or something? Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely mayo in it.
Yeah.
But anyway. Pink.
I think Spicerio is better than smoothies. Spicerio.
Yeah.
Smoothies sounds ridiculous.
It's terrible. It's a terrible name.
In comes this lady who ordered the brownies and now she needs cookies, but Ben is not here for her fucking shit. He's like, I'm on break, bitch.
He's like, I get a 15 and a 30 and I am on my 30, which means I am in relaxation mode. And she's kind of making her demands. And he like bounces back. He's like, I don't care if I get fired. Like, you don't treat people like this. You don't treat workers like this. You will not treat me like this. My name is Ben. Use my name. I am not here for you to boss around. And she like hears him and like calms down and is like, I am sorry. I really need these cookies. Also, I love how Ben says cookies. He says cookies.
Cookies.
He's like, I don't care about your cookies.
I don't care about your cookies, lady. So I didn't funny. Notice that, but that's cookies. Really funny. Oh my gosh. I don't care about your cookies. Yeah.
So you said it. Cookies.
Ben, here's the thing. Maggie, I think, right? That's her name. As soon as he snapped back, she was like, I'm into it. Like,
yeah,
yes, because yes, Daddy, Maggie, yell at me.
Yeah, because Maggie is used to people screaming at her to get the job done. So as soon as Ben yelled at her, she's like, yes, this is what I'm into.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, ooh, a little bit of aggression. Yes.
Aggression. Yeah, I yell like it. Me. Yes.
Your little kooky crazy.
Like, cookie. Yeah, exactly. He's like, I don't care about your cookie crisis.
Little cookies. And she does apologize. And he also, we think of smoothies.
She's like, what?
Ridiculous. Oh my gosh, so funny. So he's gonna go help her out. The Julie and Felicity thing is still not over. Felicity approaches Julie again. And she says, listen, about what you said, I'm not guilty. I'm angry. I've called you. I've tried to talk to you. You won't talk to me. And now I have to hear everything through Megan. Oh my God. And she says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I went with Ben. And Julie asks, what do you mean you're sorry? And she says, I know that I hurt you and I hate that. And Julie asks, would you do it again if you could? And Sarah, this is, you have to immediately react and say, no, I would not. Felicity doesn't do that. She takes the longest pause in the world.
Because she's not sorry about that. And I don't think that she should be sorry about that.
I think it's if she wants to be friends with Julie, she needs to lie and say yes. She is.
I mean, but still, the issue is that she has been lying. She has been lying. The thing is that like Felicity needed to say to Julie, like, Julie, I have had a crush on Ben since I was 14 years old. I have this opportunity now. You might hate me, but I have to be honest with you. If I don't take this opportunity, I am going to regret it for the rest of my life. So I am not asking you permission. I am telling you that this is my intentions. Instead, Julie had to hear it from, like, them talking, you know, and
yeah,
like,
while she was in the apartment. Yeah. But
yeah. Like the issue is that like I think the crime is that Felicity, even though Julie gave her so many opportunities to be honest with her, Felicity was never honest with Julie about Ben at any which way. And that's the crime. Yeah. It's not that Felicity going with Ben is the crime. It's the fact that like, Julie was literally like, give me advice. What do I do about Ben? Like, you know, I wouldn't be broken up with if he didn't have somebody like else. Like, do you have any idea who that could be? And Felicity said nothing. That is like, in my opinion, the worst thing that Felicity did. And also in the very beginning, the very first or second or third episode, whatever it was like, do you care if I go out with Ben? Felicity's like, no, I don't care. We're like just friends. Like we just know each other from high school. She should have been like, Julie, I gotta be honest with you. I really, 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 really like Ben. And even though he has no idea who I am, like I really, really like him. And then if Julie was like, okay, cool, you like him, but you don't have a chance, I'm still gonna go out with him. That's on Julie. But I feel as though in the very beginning, if Felicity was honest with Julie, Julie would not have gone out with Ben.
Yeah, I think the problem is that not only does she pause here after the would you do it again if you could, she says, if you and Ben were still dating, of course I wouldn't have gone. And I just don't think that's the right thing to say. I think what you need to say is, Julie, I'm so sorry that I hurt you. It was never my intention. I felt like I was in a really tough spot where I was interested in Ben, but I didn't want to hurt your feelings. And you know what I mean? Like, I think if she explains where she's coming from, instead, I think they both are coming from a very like defensive position. And that is not the way to resolve things. And just, of course, just like fuels the flames for Julie, where she says like, don't try to justify what you did. Like, you knew that I was upset about our breakup and you still went, like they had that conversation. And then after, Felicity still makes the choice to go with Ben. And I think that's where that's what hurts Julie the most. Yeah. But Felicity, again, is coming at it from the defensive of like, yeah, well, you told Noel. So that was like bad on you. It's like
Felicity. Yeah, but also Felicity wouldn't have told Noel. And then it was just two fucking people getting duped by the people that they were closest with, you know?
Yeah. And she said, oh, and you told him that, but we had never decided that I was actually going. And no, and Felicity, Julie is like, yeah, well, you were about to kiss when I like walked in on you, which is also very fair. I feel like Felicity is coming from the space of, yeah, but you guys were broken up. And yeah, but I hadn't actually decided. And it's like, girl, stop. But stop also, it. Also,
the thing is that even after Julie told Noel, that didn't kill like Noel's like want to still work it out with Felicity, because Noel still was like, here's the ticket. If you see yourself wanting to be with me, please come to Berlin. That didn't ruin anything with Noel. Like, because after all that, like Felicity still chose Ben. So like I feel like that's not even a good argument, because it didn't, in the grand scheme of things, it didn't do anything.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just a bullshit argument. And so they continue to argue about this. And then we get this guy who, I'm sorry, get the fuck out of here. Like, this man has no business being like, hey, you two, shut the fuck up.
Well, I think it was like just 2 hours of them just like talking. And I'm sure it's a high stress situation. But yeah, like this is where we start getting the peanut gallery, because everybody in the subway car is silent and bored, and then you have like these two people fighting. So it's just like, let's involve everybody.
Yeah, but the worst part about this guy is he's just like, these are luxury problems. You know what I was doing today? Going to get a loan so my family can eat. And it's like, okay, bro, like Jesus Christ.
I mean, this is the definition of white girl problems. Like, this is champagne problems. Like, this guy is just trying to get a loan, he missed his appointment. Now no one's going to be able to eat in his family. It's just god awful.
The thing that I thought was that made me laugh out loud probably the most is in this episode is this random, like, I don't know, business lady. She's wearing like a pantsuit or whatever. She says, I know what he's talking about. I saw the show Rent.
Yeah, you know what? It's just like, that is the equivalent to, I know a black person.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's like, oh, I know poor people. I know black people. I know exactly what's going on. But we get this older lady who's sitting next to the girls defending them, saying like, no, a broken heart can sometimes hurt worse. We get guy who just moved to New York. He's taken some sort of substance. And so he's like flying high at this point.
Yeah.
And he's like, I agree with the girl in purple, who's Julie.
Yeah. I mean, the entire peanut gallery is making their opinions.
Yeah. And we get an attorney and they're like, listen, we can't pass judgment until we have the facts and we have nothing better to do. We don't have iPhones. We don't have any sort of music. So we might as well play the game of who's guilty.
Yeah. So like, you know, Felicity and Julie really did not have to go ahead and share their entire life stories to these people, but for the sake of television, they did. And ultimately, the only thing that they can do to solve who is right and who is wrong in the situation is to play the song.
Yeah.
Play
yeah.
the song. Except, play the song.
We don't get to hear it. We come, it's like they yeah. go to commercial as she's starting, and we come back, and it's just like, hey, 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 or whatever. Like, we just hear the ending. It's
no,
bullshit.
It's a literal crime, and I don't appreciate it.
I'm so upset about it. I'm
yeah,
so
I'm not
upset.
Happy. Yeah, I want to hear the song. And I mean, did this change opinions, people's opinions, the song?
I think it makes Julie look worse based on the way they react because so? They're like, well, they say like, oh, wait, were you were broke? Did you steal her boyfriend? And they're like, no, they were broken up. And it's like, oh, well, why are you complaining then if they were broken up? That's what a few of them say, at least.
Well, then Julie needed to put more details in the song instead and take out the stuff about Slut About Washington yeah. Square Park and put in more details. I just love ultimately how this whole thing ended because there's just one guy that was like, you people are awful. But before that, we had to find the mole people. And the mole people is just a bunch of ruffians and freaking Megan's there. Of course.
So funny. And I love the eye contact that Megan, yes. and she like rolls her eyes at them as she's walking by.
Yeah, Megan. This was so funny. It's like, oh, this is what Megan does when she's out at all hours of the night.
Yeah. And then we get into like the next section of like, okay, so if you were able to forgive Ben and move in with him, why then can't you forgive Felicity? So that's like the next crux of the issue. Meanwhile, yeah. we're back with Ruby and Noel. No one really cares. He's telling a really disgusting story about cheeseburgers and throwing up that like no
this
one really cares
about.
This
is a terrible
about.
Story. A terrible like, story to tell. Yeah,
what kind of a date do you think you're on, Noel? You nasty. Yeah.
But I love Ruby's response, but like, I'm really, really hungry. Let's go get a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Ruby, I gotta say, Ruby is like the most easygoing person of all the women on the show so far.
Yeah, Ruby is just chilly. Chilly. She's chilly.
No. She's Chili's. Baby
Chili's. Gotta go to Chili's. She's just chill.
Yeah, she's just happy to be there.
She's truly just happy to be there.
Yeah.
They are worried about where Felicity's at. They're like, Felicity's like gone. Hope she's okay, but we're not gonna worry about it.
Yeah, hope she didn't get killed or mugged like in season one.
Yeah, but we're not gonna worry too much about it. Hopefully she's cool.
Yeah, she's probably fine. So then that we have a whole new line of questioning. And it's like, okay, so Julie, you knew that Felicity liked Ben for years, so there wasn't a surprise when she like wanted to go with him.
Yes, but no.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But what does Julie say to this?
Yeah, like she's just like, so like, you know, she said that she's never had a friend like she had with Felicity, right? Like okay. She said she had boyfriends in high school, but she didn't have a lot of friends. And I hate this other man on the subway who says, you're one of those guy chicks, like a sex toy.
You,
sir, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, like go away. I mean, like what he was about to say is like, yes, there's girls that are like, I can't be friends with other girls. I just like being friends with guys. It's so much easier. Which I, you know, we talked about earlier. I mm-hmm. kind of like don't like those types of people. But anyway, and Felicity admits that, like, well, Felicity just didn't have friends ever.
Yeah, that's what she says. She's like, I didn't have girlfriends. I didn't have boyfriends. Like, I didn't have anybody. And so, like, because of this reasoning that Julie is, like, so hurt because she'd never truly had a best friend like Felicity. And so she was shocked and appalled when Felicity did what she did.
Which I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, I think that puts, like, context into why she's holding this grudge, because she really had trust in Felicity, and she felt really, really betrayed. And then this is when the guy, who's I think is the MVP of the entire episode, because he is saying what we've been saying for weeks now. He's like, you people were never friends. You people were never best friends at all. You say that you were, but like you were not. And I was like, yes, random guy that has like no idea what's actually happening ever, but it has like the clearest vision on what's happening, is like, no, they were never good friends.
Yeah, I think this makes a ton of sense. I mean, we had always said that. We always thought like Felicity and Elena were closer than Felicity and Julie were.
They are friends by circumstance. They came together the first week of school. They didn't know anybody. They like were just two people that were like girls around the same age on the same floor of the dorm room. They just got pushed together. They don't have that much in common, really.
Yeah. And he says, I love him saying, you met when you were both lonely and a little desperate. You both needed a best friend. And so suddenly you shared a few things and you just referred to each other as best friends. But that was like very premature, because you didn't earn that title from each other.
Yeah.
I kind of love as a concept, because it's just calling someone your best friend, I guess it kind of makes it true, but like that doesn't mean that it's a friendship that's built to last, because there has to be substance. There has to be not necessarily history, but like trust that's garnered over time.
Trust.
And so it doesn't feel like that was ever truly there. They were best friends by circumstance, not best friends on purpose.
Yeah. Is Will your best friend?
Yeah.
Oh no, my mother just sent me a happy Mother's Day message for a possum mom, which is so bad because I did not wish her a happy Mother's Day yet. Like, you should not get a Mother's Day message from your mom about being a dog mom before you send a Mother's Day message to your actual mother.
Yeah, that's bad.
This is bad.
You're in trouble.
I mean, I'm not in trouble.
You just have to say, oh my gosh, you didn't get my message that I sent earlier.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm on a podcast. Okay, this is bad. Whatever, who cares? What were we talking about?
Felicity and Julie being not real best friends.
Yeah, they're not real best friends.
But yeah, so that's his whole point. And I do agree with that. Like, I think he says like, that's like looking for the final score before you've seen the second inning. I mean, that's a sports metaphor, but like,
yeah.
I like this. And he says, there's one of two ways this can go. You're either on your way to becoming the friends that you thought you were, or that's it. And that you just have those memories of the past. And I really like this man's approach. Like, I think there's a lot of facts. He's speaking facts. Like, this is what we've been saying, Sarah, is like, we don't really think they've done some things for each other. And maybe you can point to like the assault situation and say like that grew them a little bit closer, right? And like that was this thing that Julie shared with Felicity that isn't necessarily something that she would share with everyone. But I like the idea of what this guy is saying, though. And it feels true.
Yeah. No, I think that he really just hit it and was on the nose. Mm-hmm. He was correct. He has a better idea of what's happening between these two women than I don't know anybody else.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
Meanwhile, Cookie and Brownie Lady comes back, invites Ben to the party. She's like, listen, you standing up to me was sexy as fuck. Come to my party, Beach.
Come to my party.
Yeah.
Even though I think it was her boss's party. Whose party? It was a book party?
It was her friend. So she was catering a CD release party that was her friend's.
Yeah.
So not her boss. Well, I guess technically kind of both, but.
I would love to know if it was like a big celebrity. Like LL Cool J.
Good God. Why would this woman is not friends with LL Cool J?
You don't know.
I know. Look at her.
You don't know.
So yeah, that happens. And then Ruby and Noel are hanging out, kind of flirting, talking about glue. And apparently that gets them both hot and bothered.
These people are dorks.
They kiss and crush the project. I love it. I love how dorky they are. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they're a good couple. Once again, like they
have more couple too.
Sexy couple. They have more in common than Felicity and Noel did.
They're both nerds.
They're both nerds. Felicity is not really a nerd. She's just a loser. Yeah. She's a loser, not a nerd.
Yeah, yeah. She's more awkward than she is nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
Is probably what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Back on the subway, everyone is arguing, and eventually train car gets moving. Everyone is thrilled. The technical problems have been cleared up, and everyone, like, all these people have bonded in the hours that they've been stuck on the subway together. It's like, oh, give me a call if you have a problem with that loan. Oh, good luck to you guys. Hopefully stay friends.
This is ridiculous. This would never happen, but fine.
No, I totally agree. I was like, these people would not be that bonded. Maybe if it was like a really traumatizing thing, but they were stuck on a subway for a few hours. Like, that's not trauma bonding. That's just nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very funny.
Very funny.
So Felicity has a little voiceover where she says, like, we spent hours in the subway. Like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it came out very well, but after what I did, all I can do is ask for her forgiveness. And even if we weren't really best friends, I do miss her. Felicity finds out through Ruby that they made out. She's like, he's such a good kisser. He's such a hottie.
Such a hottie. I just hope that Felicity doesn't sabotage this for Ruby.
Yeah.
She probably will. Felicity loves getting her hands stuck in the kooky jar.
The kooky jar, yes. But I do like this little conversation we have between Felicity and Julie, where Julie says, like, listen, I'll stop playing the song.
Boo. I hate it. Boo. Yeah. So basically they try to leave it off and they're like, you know, we're not gonna work out, we're not gonna be friends. But then they both wind up at the museum, and Julie, they have like a little white flag moment.
Yeah, she says that song was really mean, but and then Felicity said, yeah, but like you said, free speech. She says, yeah, I'm not gonna play it anymore. It just, I felt like it was sort of one of those, we have decided to part ways after the subway incident, and like, we're not gonna be friends, but we're not necessarily gonna be enemies. We're just gonna leave it where it is. And then I think it was kind of like fate brings them back together, and they're like, okay, maybe we do give a second shot at being friends, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. How long do we think this is going to last before something else breaks them apart?
I don't know. I just, once again, Julie, New York is not the place for you. You have to like bring... Yeah. Accept the signals that life is giving you, and nothing good has happened to you since coming to New York.
She seems like more of a small town girly, but like, if she does want to make it big as like a music artist, that feels like you kind of want to be in a city. She could
do well in Nashville.
Oh, interesting. I could see that.
Yeah, go to Nashville.
And she already has, like, she's not exactly meeting up with her, like, biological mom and dad and all that. You know,
I think that, like, we need to, I mean, there's definitely more to explore there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I feel as though I think that they're going to be fine. Like, what else is, if Ben's not the thing that's going to, like, pull them apart, then, like, what is it going to be? I think that they're just going to be fine. At least they're not going to be trying to like chop each other's heads off.
Yeah.
Because now Felicity's just going to focus on chopping Ruby's head off.
Yes. Yeah, she is.
Just wait until they find out about the kooky lady.
Oh my God. Not the kooky lady. So that's our episode. Do you want to get into some feedback that we received?
Yes.
Let's hear what Temi has to say about the depths.
Hi, ladies. Elena examining cyclohexane conformations. She's talking about the boat and chair configurations. But no way, dude. She's not at that level of chemistry yet. She could do the ball and stick models as homework. Even though you broke my model, you're more beautiful than any model, person or otherwise.
Is that what Noel said?
On that. But going back to the chemistry, You would probably have to do, or not probably, you would have to do x-ray crystallography like Rosalind Franklin did for her DNA analysis when they were trying to elucidate the structure of DNA. She died. They don't award the Nobel posthumously. Posthumously. It's one of those cool words I love, like superfluous or nosocomial. Like, I love you. I love you and I like you. So Megan, in this episode, came back from Epstein Barr. It's a location we've seen before. Try Googling Epstein with a hyphen, then Barr with two R's, and you'll learn something.
That's very cryptic.
But when someone's a bitch and a liar, I'm getting rid of Britta, she's a GDB. So clearly that's a cool reaction song when you're feeling bad. Be sorry for something and then don't do it. I think Julie checked Felicity's mindset with all her inauthentic apologizing. You can't have your cake and eat it too. She needs to read Sartre or read about behavioral economics. I don't really buy her feelings about Julie. And after this episode, do you want to watch Meet the Parents again with Terry Polo, the actress?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's where she's from. She looks so familiar to me, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
Me too.
I didn't want to Google. So that, thank you, Temi. That's right. Meet the Parents. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, So Epstein-Barr is a variation of herpes.
Ew.
Which I was like, nasty. Whenever they kept saying Epstein-Barr, I was like, that sounds so familiar. And then a few weeks ago or whatever, I like Googled it. I'm like, oh, that's why it sounds familiar. It's so weird that they keep calling it Epstein-Barr. Cause I was like,
just love talking about herpes, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, okay. That's what it is, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, I tune out whenever Elena starts talking about science stuff. I'm too stupid to listen and take any of that in. Mm-hmm. And I really do wish that we got to hear the song.
It's really upsetting because, like, Temi was quoting Community when Vaughn writes the song about Britta.
Yeah.
And it's iconic. It's an iconic song. And, like, they had a chance to make an iconic song for Felicity besides the da do da ba do ba.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they didn't, and it's upsetting.
Oh, okay. Wait. How did Brenna? No, not Brent. Brent. Brenna. Brenka. Brenna.
Britta.
Britta. Thank you. How did Britta handle the song being written about her?
She didn't like it. She did not like it.
How did that get resolved?
I don't think she really confronted Vaughn as much as Felicity is like very insistent. I think she wanted her friends to defend her more. And then one of her friends joins the band with Vaughn and sings the song with him. So, but it's also a sitcom. So a little different. Mm-hmm. We also got an email from Sarah with an H. And Sarah says, I've had this email in my draft for weeks, but I wanted to wait until it'd be spoiler free since it addresses the haircut of doom. Dawson's Creek fun fact, Pacey's season 4 buzz cut was Joshua Jackson's fuck you to the WB after they instated a bunch of rules for their stars restricting any alterations to their appearances after the craziness that the Felicity haircut caused.
Wow.
That's a really fun fact. I like that. Some behind the scenes deets, Speedman and Russell, so Ben and Felicity, were dating during the series. To this day, Carrie and Mandy, in quotes, Amanda Foreman are besties. Who's Mandy? Do we know a Mandy? All in all, I think this is a cast that stayed close over the years. Speedman and Russell have been on talk shows together, and it's always hilarious seeing them back, both drag Speedman for being a disaster boyfriend back in the day. There was one where Speedman was talking about how he was bracing himself to see her after the haircut because he knew he really needed to not be a douche about it. And even with preparation, he was so caught off guard, he couldn't even fake like he wasn't in shock.
What?
That's hilarious.
Amanda Foreman is Megan.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Oh, okay. So Carrie Russell. So Megan and Felicity are BFFs. That's really fun.
That's funny.
Towards the end of the series, J.J. Abrams was having trouble thinking of plots and said, I wish I could just make Felicity a super spy. And that's how he came up with Alias. I actually watched this DVD, the series on DVD back in the day. And one thing I remember is that the commentaries were surprisingly good. I think because they were done years after the series ended. So the actors were very nostalgic and not secretive. It's been years and I still remember bits and pieces because they were so entertaining. In the Speedman Russell commentary, they're pretty casual, referring to the days when they were dating. Speedman talks about meeting her for the first time and being like, whoa, she is way too pretty to be Felicity, which is sort of funny since he clearly assumed she was meant to be a loser based on the script. That's what we were saying.
Yeah, she's a loser.
Yeah. As they watch the episode, they start to realize it's the haircut episode, and you can literally hear Carrie Russell almost panicking, like she's having a trauma response. And she talks about how hard it was when she got the haircut because people were acting like she was rebelling and being unprofessional when she was literally asked to do it and it was part of the storyline. She talks about a woman coming up to her while she was shopping and being like, God, your hair looks so much better before. And how it was her final straw and she burst into tears
had
an emotional breakdown in the parking garage. Oh, that's awful. That's truly awful. It's not her choice. Like, that's the producers asked her to do it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
The Foley Russell commentary was also fun. So Noel and Felicity, they talk about how filming the first Thanksgiving episode was their favorite and how they were all such a friend group by then and how much Foley loved when Jennifer Garner got to film with them. The commentary was done when they were still married. Oof, big oof. They also have multiple conversations trying to figure out what's even going on in the episode. And at one point, they have a big debate about whether or not a certain plot point happened, and both finally settling on it not happening, but they were both wrong. It did happen. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. She says, sorry for the rambling, but this is like weeks worth of random things I kept remembering to add. Enjoy season two. There's some wild stuff on the way. Thank you so much, Sarah. This was such a fun email of like little tidbits and like behind the scenes stuff. That was really interesting.
I want to listen to the commentary. Maybe, I don't know how I'm going to find it, but maybe after.
You'd have to watch the DVDs, I guess.
Yeah, maybe after the series is over, I can go for search.
It might have spoilers. Yeah. And of course, we also have a voicemail from DBK. So let's hear what he has to say.
What up, though, ladies? The depths. Okay. So I don't know why. Well, I think I know why. I think because the community, the whole bottle episode, I thought this is like kind of a bottle episode for me, or like the closest I think Felicity will ever get to one.
Yeah.
I mean, don't quote me on that because like my memory's fuzzy. But yeah. So for some reason, I thought this for a long time. If you said, what's the worst episode of Felicity, I would say The Depths. I don't even think this is that bad of an episode. I like enjoy the subway stuff. But that's all I really want to talk about this episode. Because, like, Julie fucking sucks. Like, get back to your friend, Julie. You're living with Ben. You're giving Ben a free pass. But yet you hold this grudge against Felicity. Like, Felicity did nothing wrong. I know she betrayed Julie's friendship, but in like 7 seasons of the Dawson's Creek pod, you never ever framed Pacey betrayed Dawson's friendship, even though Pacey's the like Felicity in this situation.
It's true.
Right? Like, yeah. He dated Joey after Dawson, so he's a betrayer.
But Dawson
directly after, was it? Sorry, I'm pausing DBK for a second. Do we remember the timeline?
It was pretty much directly after. Dawson was like, can you take care of Joey for me? Like, watch out for her. And Casey was like, facts, I will fuck her.
But I think, okay, and maybe the revisionist history, I don't recall exactly, but I feel like because we were building to the Joey and Pacey stuff for so long, like it felt like there was a friendship and then it just naturally built and they both felt so guilty about it. Maybe that's why I was more forgiving. And it felt like you were fucking with true love if you didn't allow them to be together. But like this felt more like...
Don't bring the boat into this, please.
This felt more like Felicity, like... Felicity was already with Noel. It wasn't like there was any other person involved in the Pacey and Joey thing. But like Felicity was with Noel, about to go to Berlin with Noel. And then she's like, nah, fuck it. Road trip with Ben sounds better. You know, maybe that's why. I don't know. I don't have any defense.
No, I think the DBK kind of has a point that there might be a double standard. But yeah, also...
well, we love Pacey. So there's that.
Do we though?
I love Pacey. You don't, but that's fine. Let's see what else DBK has to say.
But like, we don't think of it like that, is it? Because he's like a guy and Felicity's a girl, so it's like a different thing. Like, am I missing something?
I don't think the gender has anything to do with it.
I just don't understand, guys. I hate Julie. She sucks. She's the Xander of this show.
Whoa.
She's like irrational. Like,
whoa.
Felicity's supposed to be your best girlfriend. Like, you don't have girlfriends. You said it. Like, you're all about that dick. That's what like your thing is. And it's I don't know, make up with your girlfriend. I don't know, guys. It just bugs me.
It's because she only has the one girlfriend that she feels so betrayed.
Yeah.
I don't see it as being the same. And she's certainly not Xander. Xander sucks to a degree that no one on either of these shows can reach. Also, DBK also sent us a message saying the guy who needed the loan on the subway car is from the show Prison Break. And the young kid that says, "What the hell you bitching about?" was on Even Stevens.
Ooh. I remember Even Stevens. Really, we went to the moon in
1969.
Not 1968, but a year later.
Yeah. Everyone knows that song.
Yeah.
I do think that their circumstances are similar between like the love triangle on Dawson's Creek and here, but it just feels a little different to me. And I don't know exactly why beyond that. I felt like Joey and Pacey had already been building to that point, and it was further removed from when Dawson and Joey had dated. Whereas Felicity, it literally was like less than 24 hours. And she was like, gotta get that dick on that road trip, baby. You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's all our feedback we have. If you want to send in feedback, please, please do. shit90spod@gmail.com or go to our website, shit90spod.com, where we have a voicemail option like DBK utilized and Temmie utilized. It's a ton of fun. We love getting your feedback. If you have like behind the scenes tidbits, always fun. Like Sarah did, you could always like jot them down for later if you are like super nice and don't want to spoil us. We greatly appreciate it. Sarah, who's our winner this episode? Who do we want to give a point to for the depths?
Julie.
Julie for the song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Well, even though we didn't get to hear it, I would like to hear it. So
yeah,
she gets the point. Do you want to hear what next episode's title is?
Yes.
It is called Crash.
Oh no.
Is someone getting into an accident?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Or maybe like more like crashing into someone. Like what's that? Is it yellow? Is it who has Crash Into Me? Who wrote that?
Crash Into Me.
Yellow Card. What's the name of the Coldplay? Is it them?
I don't remember. I know what song you're talking about. I just don't remember.
Oh, it's Dave Matthews.
There we go.
Real fans call him Dave. It's from Community. It's from,
oh, okay.
Anyway, that's it. Next week we'll be back for Crash season 2 episode 5, and in the meantime we just released an American Pie podcast with our little special guest Chappelle, so go listen to that. It was a ton of fun and unhinged, possibly our most unhinged podcast, like at least the one that we get the most explicit in, I would say, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so.
A lot of ridiculous stories in that one, so go check it out. And of course, we have Buffy content coming out every week as well. If you want to listen to more stuff I have going on, I'm on Talking Shit, talking about Schitt's Creek every week. And Sarah and I are covering Pretty Little Liars, Original Sin, Summer School, lots of colons in that title, over on Whirlwind Podcasts. Give it a shot. We have the first 2 episodes of season 2. That podcast is out. And every week now, it'll just be 1 episode. And we have all of the backlog of season 1, which we covered on Pusher Recaps, in the podcast feed as well. So if you want to catch up, you certainly can do so. And speaking of Whirlwind Podcasts, Sarah, what else is going on over there?
Lots of stuff. I mean, I'm very excited that One Indescribable Podcast is covering Pushing Daisies. Mm-hmm. So if you are a fan of that show or have never seen it before, I think you should check it out. And
we're just bopping along. You can follow us on Whirlwind Pods to see what we're up to.
Incredible. Make sure you stay tuned with everything we're up to at Shit90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And until next week, we will talk to you all then. Bye. Just ask. Shit90s Shows taught me.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.